Thank you very much. Thank you for the organizers for holding this session and for inviting us. I'll be speaking about what we've learned in our work on Place Matters, a national initiative that I'll describe shortly. But Place Matters, in short, is an effort to help local leaders who are trying to address the social, economic, and environmental factors in their communities that are shaping health and health inequities in particular. Most of the communities that we work in share the common problem that residential segregation sorts people into different spaces and places where they encounter very different health risks and resources in addition to different life opportunities. So part of what we've done since 2006 is to help equip these local leaders with some of the tools that we think are important to help build local power and momentum for policy and systems changes. Let me start by acknowledging one of our leaders, Jim Bloyd, who is from Cook County in Illinois. He co-leads the Cook County Place Matters team. So Jim, if you'll raise your hand. Jim was instrumental in developing some of the work that we'll be talking about here. Are there other Place Matters team members? I don't want to miss anybody. So from New Orleans. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, so it's nice to be here in New Orleans, where we have the Orleans Parish Place Matters team under the leadership of Pastor Patrick Keene. And so that team also has done some wonderful work that we'll describe here shortly. A couple of years ago, we undertook a process called blueprinting, where we attempted to document what we were learning in doing this work in communities around the country. And so the four blueprints that I'll describe will be released shortly, publicly. We'll make sure that we spread the information far and wide about when and where these will be released. But we wanted to give a sneak preview for folk attending this conference. So as I described, Place Matters is a national learning community made up of 19 teams working in 27 jurisdictions around the country. Place Matters started in 2006 with a generous grant from the Kellogg Foundation. And what's important about these different communities that we work in is that they all face unique challenges, but many share common concerns and problems. Communities of color that are highly segregated, often facing high levels of poverty concentration within their communities. These are communities that are often economically and politically marginalized, and there are health consequences, obviously. These are communities that are often overrun with vendors selling unhealthy foods, such as grocery stores or corner stores selling high-fat, high-sodium, high-sugar food products. Many of these communities, conversely, lack access to fresh fruits and vegetables, healthy produce. Others are overrun with environmental health threats. Still others face high levels of crime and violence. There are few safe places for exercise or recreation. And the stress associated with these kinds of living conditions certainly both directly and indirectly affects the health status of community residents. So we're working in places like Detroit, like Cleveland, like Chicago, communities where, again, because of high levels of segregation and poverty concentration and because of the fact that the major industries in many of these communities have left those communities, you often see people without jobs, you see a high rate of vacant properties, and so we attempt to help those leaders address those challenges. Still other communities within this network of Place Matters are rural communities, where the issues differ, but there still are common concerns in terms of high levels of poverty concentration and structural racism that inhibits life opportunities for the residents in those communities. So working in a place like the San Joaquin Valley in California, where our concerns center primarily around the living conditions for migrant farm worker communities, many of these communities are in unincorporated areas in the state. There is no jurisdiction that provides sewer services in some cases, clean drinking water, electricity. So many of the basic goods and services that we take for granted are lacking in those communities, and you can imagine the consequences for health. Place Matters focuses attention on the root causes of health inequities, and we seek to improve neighborhood conditions by doing a number of things. One, we help our teams to build multi-sector coalitions. We know that these teams need to be composed of many different stakeholders engaged in health equity work. These include nonprofit and grassroots organizations, community-based organizations, health departments, health systems in some cases, academic institutions, faith institutions, business leaders, all of these different sectors are important to engage in this work to raise awareness and build political support for the kinds of policy and systems changes that we seek. Teams are also seeking to raise awareness of the inequitable distribution of health risks and resources across different communities, the fact that communities of color historically have suffered from a high concentration of health risks while lacking financial and geographic access to health-enhancing resources is often a key issue that our Place Matters teams are focused on. And importantly, they're also engaged in identifying and building support for evidence-based policy strategies. So when they engage with their local elected officials and other policymakers, they can draw upon that evidence base, often practice-based evidence, but nonetheless important to help inform the kinds of decisions that policymakers are making. Our mission is to build the capacity of leaders and communities to identify and address these kinds of social, economic, and environmental conditions that shape health and life opportunities. And our vision is that we want to see every community become a socially and racially just community where there are equitable opportunities for all. Sometimes in our everyday use of language, we mix up the notions of equality and equity. So this little picture on the right kind of nicely illustrates the key difference. Equality is essentially treating everybody the same. So in this case, those three boys on the left side of the picture are all being treated the same. They all have a box to stand on to watch the baseball game, but the little boy on the right can't see the game. If we're treating everyone according to need and valuing everyone equally, then we might move toward equity, which is the case where, on the far right, where all three boys are watching the game. The difference is that the little boy has two boxes to stand on because that's what he needs to be able to see over the fence. In this way, all three of the boys get to participate in the game. So a little oversimplified version, but important for those of us that are engaged in equity fights. It's not treating everybody the same, but addressing and correcting both historic and contemporary needs and injustices. So our blueprinting process began a couple of years ago where we engaged with teams to see if we could capture what we've learned in the 8 years of doing this work. And our purpose was to help each Place Matters community that face different challenges in political environments to describe the local assets that they have and the creative ways that they've solved their challenges. We believe that one of the greatest assets of Place Matters is the diversity of thought and experience across the teams, which the blueprinting process attempted to capture. So the National Collaborative for Health Equity, I should point out that the bio was a little bit old. We have spun off our unit of the former Joint Center to become the National Collaborative for Health Equity. And our focus is to run initiatives like Place Matters. But these four blueprints that we're going to share in the coming months address issues about approaching community-based work, promoting health equity and addressing racism in all of its forms and its health consequences, and ultimately improving health outcomes. Our process, I realize this is a little bit hard to see, so I'll just briefly describe our process, was structured to encourage creativity and to capture the kinds of ideas and thoughts and initiatives that our teams have generated over the years. Each team was engaged to determine the kinds of core issues that they faced in doing their work, and so the blueprinting process took place over the span of about 12 months, with the first step being a survey of team members to identify blueprint topics that were most pressing. The second step allowed members to vote on the top four topics that they are addressing based on the ones that they believe to be most pressing for their communities and ones which they believe teams could bring unique perspectives, knowledge, and experiences. In the final step, once the topics were established, team members self-selected into groups, working groups, with blueprint architects leading these groups to guide the process and help the teams to ultimately come to consensus on their recommendations. The teams were charged with sharing information that they've gained and providing cohesive counsel to other communities that are attempting to address similar issues. So we hope that these blueprints are helpful even in non-Place Matters communities. So the four blueprints are as follows. The first is making the case to policymakers that place matters in influencing policy by drawing upon the evidence base that exists. Our goal is to make a successful case to policymakers and influence equitable policy development and help build a movement that considers and promotes health and equity in all policies. The three steps in building the case are laid out in the schematic here on the far left side. The first step of the process that every Place Matters team engaged in is first to engage and gather community input, gathering data on the various social determinants of health, often also mapping how those determinants are distributed across a geographic space to see which communities we might find health risks clustering in and where we might find health resources clustering in. Many of our teams have conducted environmental scans to understand not only the health risks, but sources of strength and resiliency within the communities that they're working in. They also are engaged in a policy scan, trying to understand the laws and regulations within a particular jurisdiction that may attempt to address the social determinants that they're focused on. As I mentioned, many are engaged in mapping GIS, geographic information systems work, to display the distribution of health risks and resources, but they're also engaged in message development and communications, in some cases using policy tools like health impact assessments to help to help policymakers understand the health consequences of decisions that they are making in other policy sectors such as housing, transportation, economic growth, and other areas. In a second step, the middle set of boxes, in building the case, our teams are engaged in efforts to build relationships, very important in the coalition work that our teams are engaged in, building those multi-sector diverse coalitions that are often key to base building and movement building so that power, that communities can claim power to advance their policy agenda. Community mobilization, of course, is very important. A lot of our teams are engaged in the kind of organizing that is critically important to build health equity movements, both in terms of the old-fashioned gumshoe organizing door-to-door, as well as social media and other tools to help raise awareness and bring people into their coalitions. Teams are also engaged in message development and communication strategies. And finally, they are also engaged in identifying champions for the work, sharing their success with those key and influential policymakers and understanding where the leverage points are to begin to ensure that the community has their needs addressed. An example of this is a case study from Bernalillo County where the team uses health impact assessments with community residents to inform local policymaking. One of the issues in Bernalillo County, as one of the team members described it to me, is that the land use policies very much are like the Old West. Very little in the way of law and regulation to protect communities from things like polluting industries, which are often sited in and near residential communities. So partnering with local residents and allies, the Bernalillo County team conducted a health impact assessment to examine the impact of a proposed solid waste facility on the health and well-being of two of the most marginalized communities in the county, Mountain View and San Jose. These are neighborhoods that suffer from very high levels of poverty concentration and very little political power. Working with those residents, the team's HIA found that primarily low-income and Hispanic residents live with a legacy of environmental contamination and a history of heavy industrial development in and around their communities. When residents learned of the facility's plans to obtain a special use permit for solid waste transfer, they approached the team for assistance in conducting this health impact assessment. Prior to the HIA, many residents were unaware of Place Matters or the social determinants of health, but as they came together, and particularly through the development of the health impact assessment, they became more aware of land use as a key determinant of health, and ultimately with the HIA and the capacity building and organizing within the community, team members were able to galvanize residents to advocate on behalf of their community and prevent the solid waste facility from coming into the area. A second blueprint is around mobilizing youth. We increasingly recognize, and other groups are increasingly recognizing, that not only do we need to develop new leadership for this next generation, but also that youth are often deeply concerned about their communities and can have a very, very powerful voice in town hall meetings, in local hearings. They have a very powerful influence on policymaking. So engaging youth is often critically important for advancing this work. The team that developed this blueprint developed a model for engaging with and promoting healthy and successful youth, a cycle that they describe as first starting with letter A, engaging key stakeholders, then moving to identify the root causes of the challenges in those communities, again, often related to heavy poverty concentration and political marginalization. They then go on to develop consensus on priorities, working with communities, and assess the evidence base for models and systems that can develop new policies and offer ideas for changing those inequitable systems. Implementing those evidence-based policy strategies is the next step, followed by evaluating their impact. And so this model is described in more detail in the blueprint coming forth shortly. A third blueprint is on ending racism and supporting racial healing. This is a work group that has to deal with the very challenging reality that racism has health consequences for too many communities. So they offered a number of recommendations for community actions, particularly to end structural and institutional racism and promote racial healing. When we think about racism, often we think about interpersonal acts of racial grievance, but it's often the structural and institutional forms of racism that we need to address to fully advance health equity. So this team offers a number of recommendations. I won't go through all of them in the interest of time, but they include requiring the use of effective community tools and strategies, engaging with many different groups, not just people of color, to have frank conversations about structural racism, including learning processes that explore how whites learn their roles in a racialized society and the costs of adhering to this role, in addition to several other recommendations on raising awareness about racism and strategies to help undo the persistent legacy of racism in their communities. Finally, here's a case study to end racism from the Cuyahoga County team, which offered an example from their community improvement partnership, the Health Improvement Partnership Cuyahoga County, also known as HIPC. This was a planning process designed to engage the community in a collaborative effort that identifies the strengths, issues, and resources in the community that affect the health of those in and around Cuyahoga County. The goal of HIPC is to use existing data and community input to develop a plan that will improve the health and well-being of all people in the county, and using a model called the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnership, or MAP, this partnership selected four key priorities connected to two overarching strategic issues, including eliminating racism as a social determinant of health. Very important for the county to acknowledge explicitly eliminating racism as a health equity strategy. Finally, a blueprint for community-driven action was offered by one group that focused on community cohesion, readiness, awareness, engagement, and mobilization. And so the key constructs, the key goals for this effort is one, to develop and to help communities capture the power that they already have. Many of the communities that we work in have tremendous sources of strength and resiliency, but they also have tremendous, often untapped, political power which can be mobilized. This blueprint also focuses on developing an infrastructure for communications, identifying community assets, engaging in systems to shape policy and to redistribute power, building collaboration and alliances, offering tools and resources for community learning, voice, and action, and tools for evaluation. So finally, thank you. And to learn more about Place Matters, we encourage you to visit our website at www.nationalcollaborative.org. Thank you.